Well,
yeah.
Pending an asteroid hitting the Earth, we are rolling.
Oh, wow. We are rolling for episode number 3. And with that, welcome everyone to episode 3 of the Rad Dads podcast, that little place where we take some of the conversations and the bits and pieces that have been talked about in our community over the past week or so and dive a little deeper.
Yeah, we jump off the board and see what happens. Well, we've checked to make sure it's deep enough.
That's the responsible dad thing to do.
You know, like, did anyone teach you that, Greg, to like check how deep it was, or was it just assumed that the older kids would make sure?
No. It sounds really morbid to say, but my father, given his vocation, did attend a few incidences where things had gone pear-shaped. So he did make it very clear to us as kids that we were to check before we jumped.
What was his job?
He spent a good 20-odd years as a traffic officer, then a police officer.
I wonder if they got, like, counselling for all that stuff. Did they?
Big fat nutter.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're just, like, still dealing with trauma in there.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's possibly a conversation for another day, but, mate, you talk about expectations on a set of people in the world and... and what they're supposed to have to deal with. You step back far enough and you go, this whole concept of we're going to go and single out one group of people and it's their job to deal with all of the worst bad stuff day in and day out, and that's what they're going to do. But we're going to expect them to be normal people when they come home. And that goes for whether you're a police officer or a firefighter or we're an ambulance officer. They deal with the absolute extremes of society, and that becomes their normal. And then somehow they're supposed to take their uniform off and, you know, interact and interface with everybody like they're normal human beings. And I just think if you're talking about expectations being misaligned, man, that is just such an example of it. You know, if there was a leaders debate somewhere in the world at what we can do better, I think it's how we deal with emergencies, how we deal with... I think everybody should be trained in how to deal with an emergency. You know, spread that load.
I agree. It would also remind everyone that it's not always good. You know, like, it's miraculous every morning when you drive on the motorway, if you live in a big city, that it actually works.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, it's funny. It reminds me of... I can't remember whether I showed you. There was that technology that had come out in the States that you could download this app now, and it would... its premise was that it was going to keep you safe because it would notify you of emergency events that were happening within, I think, 200 yards. I don't know what the metric version of that is, but of you and your phone, and it would say, you know, shooting, active shooting up ahead, blah, 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 avoid this situation, avoid that. And on the face of it, you go, that's a great idea. And then you go, hold on a minute. How much of our life do we live in complete ignorance, and how overwhelming would it be to know the level of detail around what's happening right under our noses at any given point in time, and going, maybe there's a sense of balance that's achieved by just being ignorant about a few things.
You know, I think for me it's like, let's say that app worked really well and you were safe. The question is, does safe make you happy?
Exactly.
And we look at that through the prism of being dads too, eh?
Totally.
You know, it's like I always give you that example.
Yeah.
And I tell everyone about, you know, how I hate the trampoline security.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, I don't need to explain it. We all know that on the surface level, it makes sense.
Yep.
But dig a bit deeper. What the hell are we taking away? Oh, great. You can use the safety as part of your play.
Yeah.
So when you come to 99.9% of life that has no safety net.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. We'll fall off and break our arms. How is your little fella who's got a broken arm?
He's frustrated.
Yeah.
He's incredibly frustrated. We got 5 days to go, but my goodness.
Were you like that?
No, I was like, my oldest daughter and I share a lot of similarities. But right. I looked at my angle grinder last night and I went, I could do it. I could do it. What's 5 days? 5 days of bone growth can't be that much.
It's an estimate.
Yeah. We have kind of agreed, and I apologize to all the doctors out there that will possibly jump on and tell me that I've got rocks on my head. But we have agreed that we might try and sneak him in to get the cast off on Thursday rather than Friday.
Do it.
And so we've sort of said we've got a little bit of leverage. If the behavior's good and everybody's happy days.
Greg, it's like a scab. Ultimately, you let it come off by itself, but yep. Whoever did that? Pick it off and get going.
That is hilarious.
We'll just quickly acknowledge your sniffles.
Yeah, sorry.
Just for the editor, we don't want to have to. We keep it real around here.
Yeah,
keep so it real. So you get a bit of hay fever and change of.
So after 6 broken noses.
Yeah.
And 6 nose reconstructions, not to go into too much of the detail. Needless to say, I don't have the filtration system that other people have.
Yeah.
And so on hot, humid days like we have today, the old pollen gets up, the antihistamines come on board, and. It's sniffle central for the best part of the day, and it'll be worse. We've got to go live shortly after this, and I look very bleary eyed and red eyed, and people might start talking.
Damn, that's a real man cave. What was our topic this week? Were we going to go with the IQ thingy?
IQ versus EQ. I think there was a little bit of discussion around identity. I just wanted to also acknowledge those that participated in the poll. It was an interesting poll. It was a little bit of fun this week, but we wanted to just throw it out to dads out there. What was their worst wipe scale score? And Will and I were talking about this on the phone actually, and we're just saying, you know, it's an interesting conundrum because I don't know what it's like elsewhere in the world, but those wipes, man, they can get pretty expensive.
Well, and also we use them wrong. I'm pretty sure that most people flush them and you're supposed to put them in the bin. But
yeah.
Who wants to put a poo wipe in the bin? It's going down the toilet. That's another, like, safety net.
Yeah, all the plumbers will be going, no, don't do it.
Or are they like, yes, now we can charge you?
Well, this is possibly it. But it was interesting. It was interesting to see there was a lot of reference to nuclear fallout.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from that, I'm gonna make no other assumption of information other than, well done. It shows me and shows us that there's a lot of dads out there getting amongst it. Getting awkward, getting amongst the poo, and actually participating, which is cool.
Can I ask I should work my way through this in real time. So my wife does pause, right? Yep. So she sometimes has other people's kids,
yep.
And she has to clean those kids when they do a poo and they're in her care.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, I think there's a worse kind of, what was the top nuke?
Where's my radiation suit?
Is there anything above that? Because at least there's a bit in your brain which is like, it's disgusting, it stinks, but it's mine.
Yeah.
If it's someone else's.
Oh, that's next level. Katie, my wife, knows that there is absolutely not. Okay, I say there is no way, but of course, there's never say never. There's always a situation where I'm not ever going to leave. If circumstances that, you know, you got to get amongst it and get involved, of course I'm going to help. But left to my own devices, I will clean up my own kids' bodily functions any day of the week.
Mm.
Anybody else's kids, I'm sorry, but that's on you, whoever's dad or mum's around. To a certain extent, obviously, if they're in our care and there's no other option, that's a different story. But general rule of thumb, if my DNA is somewhere in that fecal matter,
yeah,
I'll take responsibility for it. It's a good rule.
I think it's a solid rule. I just have these moments where I go third person and I'm like, wow, we're talking about poo and wipes. And that's awesome. That reminds me exactly what we're doing here. We're in this journey of fatherhood.
Oh, exactly. You talked about identity.
Well, I saw something online this week, and it was basically something that I think about often. It's this IQ versus your EQ. What are those, Greg?
So IQ is an intelligence quotient, I think is quotient. I'm not a smart person, but and I stand corrected. And the E in EQ is emotional. So the idea is there's an emotional intelligence and intelligence.
Mm.
So one's, I guess, an academic view of the world, what you can and can't do.
Yeah. And that would be how they would kind of profile you for roles when you're a kid?
Yeah. I know IQ is used a lot in like the American schooling system.
Yeah.
There are, it's a sort of, it's a marker. It says you are about here, because that ridiculous thing that we do as humans, that we have to have these sort of labels and we have to exist in these, you know, to use a big word, the stratification of society, where we have to have these layers and people with higher IQ sit here and people with lower IQ sit here. And I think it's really interesting. And I guess part of what's kicked off the conversation is that, I think I read it even this morning, 800 million jobs in the next 30 years are going to be subject to things like automation.
Mm.
And so what's that's doing is it's having a profound effect on even how we arrange ourselves within the world.
Right.
And so, but that's what that then is doing is it's, I think it's triggering a conversation in all of the people that have kind of got out and got on with life and maybe not engage with higher education or whatever. And those that have engaged with higher education, they're sort of standing back, looking at themselves, going, where do I fit on this scale of IQ versus EQ? How much value can I bring to the world through who I am rather than what I do? And what does it mean for me to be a human in an automated world?
Mm.
And I think that's possibly a question that a lot of people are beginning to wrestle with. And then I guess the other thing from there is that I did have it on my phone, but it's now starting to update, which is always helpful.
I love watching you squirm like that. It's like a real life scenario.
Oh, totally. I was like, yeah, cool.
Something off your phone.
Bring it up. And what's that? It's going to start updating right in the middle of the podcast. Anyway, I was watching something. We both, Will and I, share a public appreciation for Gary Vaynerchuk, and I was watching something of his yesterday, and it kind of tied into this idea, and he was speaking through the lens of business, but off the back of the IQ EQ thing, I was just watching this thing, and it sort of dawned on upon me from a dad perspective as well, this idea that possibly those people that don't have the IQ smarts, they go out and try and make a point. They're trying to make a point to the world. They've got this sort of deficiency mindset that they have to find a way in which they can find a label and find a sense of identity so that they can prove themselves to their parents or to their significant other or just to their peers. And so they go out and they short-circuit their decision-making process in order to try and get some quick wins on the board. And as we kind of struggle with this IQ, EQ conversation, what's more important, how do we develop one over the other, I thought it was really important to kind of fold in this idea of we've also got a lot of time now. So one of Gary V's biggest points is we're going to have more time than we've ever had. His biggest frustration is guys at 40 going, them young dudes, you know. It's like, no, the game's only just begun.
Yeah.
Healthcare is getting better. We're going to live for longer. All of those things. And so this idea of becoming self-aware and drilling down into who you are as a person and your identity as a father, like this is a game that is, this is not a young person's game. This is a every person's game. And just to, I guess, not underestimate the value of it.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, there's a buttload to unpack there. Did I just say having a poo? Buttload to unpack. You're going to need a lot of wipes to clean up this one.
Radiations.
Let's start with this idea of AI, you know, and let's start with this idea of automation and that the fact that, you know, your IQ in traditional terms may have got you that office job, may have got you opportunity to work your way up the ladder. And what happens when all those are taken over? You know, like we have acknowledged to each other that because we work in the field of creative, that at the moment, you know, bots and AI and its limited capability aren't even diving into that zone. It's having trouble learning how to drive. Because that's like a creative thing.
Yeah.
You know, it asks questions that we instinctively know how to deal with, and it's like so many things. So, and I also thought about, you know, I read an article some months ago now about Harvard Business Report or something, but it was like trying to break it down to say when you're looking for a career, when you're looking, you know, where you will be relevant, let's take happiness out of the equation. It was find something that AI can't replicate easy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about my career and AI would have a real problem because I like trying to make video pieces that connect with an audience through beat, through pictures. And I'm like, where I'm drawing from is not a algorithm level. It's like an internal algorithm. Yeah. You know, it's like, what are you, when that's you,
instinctive.
When, you know, Jack's in the water and Rose says there's not enough room on the door.
Yeah.
There's a feeling you get.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a calculated move by a human to try and translate an idea into some type of real life that you can take away and remember forever. And there's just so much there that it's, I can see how even now this conversation can get really deep really quick. And that's kind of freaky to humans, you know, that's freaky to us dads too, because that's just one bit of thinking that we will do on our day.
Yeah, oh, exactly. And I think the point of the conversation also is that the fact that how do we help our listeners and how do we help ourselves to be more comfortable with having that conversation? Because I think, again, just as you were talking, just reflecting, going, man, actually, the real opportunity is that, and where the whole IQ, EQ conversation really comes to life is so often, if you look at it through the lens of parenting, so often we would go out into the world and become something. We would pick up a label, would be a lawyer, a doctor, a builder, a mechanic, whatever. We'd find an identity out in the world, and then time would pass, and eventually we would bring that identity back into our family and almost parent through that lens. And so what's really, really interesting is that technology and automation and all of those sorts of things, I think, will flip-flop that, because we need to understand what it is to be a dad and a human first. And actually, the real opportunity is, because we have to have this really incredible level of self-awareness when we do engage in being as good a parent as we can be, what that does when we go out into this automated world where everybody's trying to understand what it is to be human, the soft skills and the emotional intelligence that you bring as a father into that workplace, whatever it is, sets you apart straight away. So we're in this awesome point in history where drilling down into our family and drilling down into ourselves and really trying to figure out who we are and what our identity is and all of those big airy-fairy questions that the world used to tell us we would never want to ask because they were irrelevant, is actually, that's not only investing in your family, but that's investing in your vocational future, because you instantly have a point of difference. You can lead teams because you understand what it is to be human. You can tackle new problems because you know what it is to be a dad that faces new problems every day. You can do all of those things. And I just think, how cool would it be if we were able to start and communicate that as a movement amongst dads, not only in New Zealand, but throughout the world, where we could have guys actually being brave enough to look inside themselves and go, where do I find my sense of identity? Because of that twofold win, we have stronger families, stronger kids, but also dads can go out and they can be whatever the heck they want to be, you know?
It's almost like, talk to yourself and appreciate yourself as if you were raising you. Because if you were asking to your child how to prepare them for the future, you wouldn't be thinking with the clouded mindset of what am I good at?
Yeah.
Where do I fit? I'm not smart enough. Teacher told me I'm an idiot, you know. Yeah. You would be thinking in terms of your child and, you know, what their capabilities are and looking out and did you know that you can do this? And, you know, it's awesome that you can operate a computer at such a young age.
Yeah.
And it's like treat yourself like you are your father sometimes, you know, and give yourself the acknowledgement of trying to make a good decision for you. You know, sometimes I think that we forget as dads, because it does feel like we serve others, that it's important to try and remember what it is you like to do and what your hobbies are. And if you don't know immediately what your hobbies are, that's cool, because not everyone, you know, there's a spectrum of people who have found what their calling is versus others who, you know, had to just go to work because of family circumstances or whatever. The point is, if you got time to listen to this podcast, you got time to start unlocking those feelings of, you know what, I've always enjoyed art. Am I going to quit everything and go be an artist? No. But maybe I can start saying to myself, well, what is it about art that I love? How can I maybe share that with my child? You know, and then who knows, in 10 years, you're an artist.
No, exactly.
You know, it's like, it should be that simple, eh?
Yeah. Oh, no, exactly. I wholeheartedly agree. And I think almost ramping up a notch from there as well is going, you know, if we're at a, we keep coming back to what Pete Bethune was saying about, you know, stepping outside parenting. But outside of parenting, when it's all said and done and you get that moment to look back on your life, I think a really great question to ask is, how do I want the world to be different for having me, having had me in it? You know, how do I want, because first of all, having the courage to believe that you have some ability to influence and shape the world around you, and to simply go, if I'm going to look back once it's all said and done, I want to be able to see that there was, it's different for having had me in it. I wasn't just another number. I wasn't just another heartbeat consuming oxygen for, you know, 60 to 80 years and sort of just going by the by. And I think that's a really interesting question. And it's an incredibly confronting question.
It is. However, I think that one way to look at it, not a solution, but one way to look at it, is you have this thing called IQ, right? And it's a generalist term, which is like your intelligence or whatever. I wonder if you break it down and you say, all right, what can I do better than everyone else easily? Yep. You know, like I'm sure a fast runner can just run fast.
Yeah.
There's something everyone has. That's the awesome thing of life, right? That's the, like, regardless what your beliefs are, that's the most gangster trick of life, that there's something for everyone.
Yep.
Everyone's got one thing or two things.
Yep.
Some have heaps.
Yeah.
Others have a few, but you've got one thing. And if you think about it, you will know that one thing. It might be that you've got a quicker reaction to everyone else. It might be that you can make people laugh in an uncomfortable situation. If it's me, I know when it comes to my video stuff, I'm not the best like operator, but I'm pretty good at like putting things together quickly that people think it would be hard for them to do.
Yeah,
and for absolutely. Me, it's easy. And so my IQ in that realm is off the charts. Just don't ask me to like read. No, you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Like, I can read, but I'm not the best reader.
Yeah.
But I'm not even saying I'm the best video creator. I'm just, I back myself, and it doesn't feel like a lie when I say I'm good at that.
Yeah.
And so maybe I'd challenge all the dads, like, don't share it. Just say to yourself this week, what is it that I can do easily? And is that lining up with what I do for a profession?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And I think, but there's a certain security in yourself and a bravery that comes to being able to acknowledge that, you know, because it, especially within a New Zealand context, we're brought up to, you know, chop those people down that would even dare step out and say that kind of stuff. And that's, what is it, you know, what's happened for you to get to the place where you have the internal fortitude to be able to go, actually, I'm going to cut myself enough of a break to go, I'm not going to shout it from the rooftops and become a really arrogant dude about it, but I can get up, look at myself in the mirror and just say, you know what, I know, and I'm cool. I'm actually okay with acknowledging the fact that I'm good at that. Because that, like, again, that's like such a, such a battle of the mind to get to a point with yourself. Mm. It doesn't even have to involve anyone else to be able to get up and look at yourself and go, you know what, actually, I'm okay with this. I'm okay with being that guy. You know, the results speak for themselves. You're out there doing it and you're in the pocket, in the zone. You've still got to believe it yourself.
Mm.
And coming back to parenting, I think that's the part that we have to be really aware of, because that's the part that your kids will call BS on straight away. They might not actually call BS, but you know what I mean? Like if there was a part that their spidey senses will zero in on, if mum or dad doesn't actually believe what they're trying to show and tell me, they will see it straight away. Mm. So you can be, you can be telling them to do all of this stuff, but if you don't believe it, it just won't land. And I think that's why it's really important to figure out how you get to that place where you go, yeah, I'm cool. I mean, same goes for me. I it took me a really long time to get to a point where I was comfortable with saying, I can probably read a room and read people in a room better than most. Mm-hmm. I have a high conclusion speed and I can figure out where you're going with the conversation and get ahead of you reasonably quickly. And it's hugely advantageous in a whole lot of aspects of life. But believing that I could be that guy and then having that belief so then I could leverage it to do better stuff, that was the hardest part.
Yeah,
you know, it was kind of, yeah, you're good at that. No, I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
You're good at that. No, I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
And then that sort of cycles around until eventually you go, oh, okay, yep, that's cool.
A big part is that you have to enjoy that stuff too. Like, it's a nice challenge for your brain, right? To read the room and to post think about it and say, was I right or what was it wrong, and analysis for next time, as it is for me to, you know, how fast can I cut this thing and what's the maximum amount of corners I can cut that no one will realize, you know, because in a wow moment and I tricked you the whole way through but actually no one tricked anyone. It's easy because it's easy to me and you, and others have their version of that. It's super difficult for anyone else, you know. It's like some people can look at maths and it's just easy for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if anyone has really heard someone talk like this. I can't remember anyone in my life saying, I remember them saying, what do you want to be?
Yeah.
But not saying, hey, what do you really enjoy?
Yeah.
What comes natural to you?
Who are you?
Yeah. And those are huge things to ask. And just start with one thing, you know. And I'd be interested if you do want to share what your one thing is.
Yeah.
Flick us an email, raddadsnewzealand@gmail.com, and let us know if you want to share. But we would just like to hear, because, you know, what if someone came back with, you know what, I found really easy sprinting. I can run 8 seconds.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, I'll give you all the money in my bank account and you go and win a gold medal.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've just solidified your role as a dad forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that would be a perfect scenario,
yep.
Meaning that something easy you are able to capitalize on in a good way, rather than just the hustle and grind and grump.
Yeah, no, I think I wholeheartedly agree. And it's just, yeah, it's such a fascinating conversation. As a follow-on, but a slight tangent away from that as well, is also going that, but even if you haven't, I think the starting point, it's really easy to chase our own deficiencies. You know, I don't have this sorted out, or I don't have this sorted out, or I don't have this sorted out. And I think the real key to any and all of this is that in the very first instance, you're able to acknowledge to yourself and to those that love you that actually today, wherever you are, whatever you've done and whatever your intentions are for the day, you're enough. And I think once you at least, and that's almost like the zeroing, that takes the net good, the net bad, the indifferent and in between, and literally says, you know what, today I'm at zero. I have all the potential in the world to do all of the things that I want to do and I know that I can do. But until you get to that point where you can believe that you're enough, you don't have deficiencies that you're trying to play catch up with. And that, again, it doesn't, that's not acknowledging mistakes, because I think that's really, really important. And I've got, you know, that's possibly a conversation for another podcast, but making sure, you know, you can, you know how to say sorry and you know how to fix mistakes, but actually acknowledging that being enough is exactly that. It's the person that can acknowledge the good, the bad, and the in-between.
Mm.
And from there, that's the ultimate platform. Anything and everything is possible. And I just think, I wanna today, like we did in that post this week, is just acknowledge the dads that have the doubt. They get up in the morning and the 2 feet go on the ground and they have to put the front on. You know, there's that nagging, egging doubt, and then somehow they've done wrong by their missus or done wrong by their kids, or, you know, not quite living up to the expectations of their parents. And again, if there's any seeds of truth in any of that, go and deal with it, but know that you're not deficient. You're enough to do what you have to do today, and let that be your platform from which to work.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's an awesome outlook on everything. You know, the tricky bit is, you know, that lump you have, is it a pimple or is it cancer?
Yeah.
And trying to work out at what scale is this drama. Yeah. And don't suffer unnecessarily.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's catching up with a bro and saying, hey man, does this happen to you?
Yeah.
And sometimes that's going straight to your doctor and saying, you know, I'm having bloody voices.
Yeah.
Just know that you got to find an answer.
Exactly.
You know, and that starts with that feeling in the morning. Something's telling you something.
Yeah.
Listen to it for a while.
Yeah.
And it will explain what to do. You know, it's a hard thing. We're dealing with life, and this is the most interesting. And, you know, I sometimes think about life like how hard it is to capture a picture and put it on Facebook, and it was less than a millisecond.
Yeah.
And think about the power needed.
Yeah.
You know, we had to invent an iPhone that can go in your pocket that's more powerful than the rocket that went to the moon.
Yeah.
And all it can do is capture a millisecond of life.
Yeah.
And life is just 24 hours a day for hundreds of whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No.
And
it's
okay, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's totally, that's an intense thing. But yeah, to those, like I say, to those guys that are in that space, we just want to, first of all, we want to say, we see you, we hear you, and more than anything else, know that the community and those around you that love you are here for you. And don't let that doubt be the beginning of a series of bad decisions that are going to take you so far from the truth of knowing that today you're enough. So it was a bit more of a serious one, I guess, today.
We did talk about
nappies,
poos,
and what have you.
And I was checking a Facebook post from fellow rad dad Chris.
Oh yeah.
And he was posting a picture that I'll show Greg of his child pooing out the back of his nappy, and the back of the baby shirt is filled with a brown substance.
Yep.
A fairly start to the day.
Yep.
Best day ever, Chris.
Best day ever.
Yep.
Yes. So anyway, thanks all for checking in with us. Like we've said, it's a meandering journey into life and all of its goodness. Hit us up on raddadsnewzealand@gmail.com. Jump onto the Facebook page, raddadsnz.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Rate, review, all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. But more than anything else, please, please, please tell us what you think. We're a couple of fairly thick-skinned individuals, and we're keen to be able to try and add value to your parenting journey. So let us know what you think. Get involved. Get involved in the community. Share your 2 cents worth, and let's make the world a better place one day at a time. Till next time.